today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we would like to begin a new series on the issue of church leadership. And part of the reason for that is because there are misconceptions of leadership. And if there's misconception, that leads us to what should we be looking for, you know, obviously in biblical leadership. So we want to work through that in the weeks ahead. However, before we go there, we need to know personally what leadership is, and then that it should inform how we choose or look for leaders in a church. So today, we're just going to focus on, you know, leadership in the sense of what is leadership?
Right.
What does it look like? Yeah. What is good, faithful leadership? And that's kind of what we want to dissect today.
Right. There are a lot of good books on leadership, and
right.
and I have two or three, a couple of shelves of them.
Right.
And I like what guys say, and some of those books give chapters, each one having a different aspect of leadership. We want to distill it a little bit because we don't have the time. We don't want to hold people's attention that long, but just go over some things that we think are the sort of the essentials of leadership.
Well, in order to guide us through this conversation today, we have three things that are going to kind of give us direction on that issue. One is leadership means direction. Leadership means determination. And then also leadership means destiny, or we could say legacy, but in keeping with our D's, we're going to say destiny. So,
right.
So first of all, leadership means direction. Okay, what does that mean, direction?
Well, I've often said as a pastor, as a preacher, when I was challenging men to be the leaders of their homes, I stop in the middle of my sentence to maybe make a little explanation. I think there's something goes up for men when you talk about being
right.
spiritual leaders.
I can't do this.
They can't.
Right.
They're not smart. They don't understand the Bible enough. Their wives
not a theologian.
Their wives are so
right.
much better at those things than them. None of which matters when it comes to being just a leader in your home. And that's not all that we're talking about today. We're talking in general. So what I've often said is leadership is not about where you are. It's about where you're going. It's
right.
about direction. And we see Jesus, his example, and I know it's Jesus. I get that. But still, we learn from his example. You know, I go to prepare a place for you. There's direction. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I must needs go to Samaria. There's
right.
direction. The Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem.
Well, I think we tend to think of leadership as just positional instead of influence. That's part of the problem. And then you have the problem of people don't think that they can do it, especially in the context of being a father and spiritual leading.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we also have to realize we are speaking in the context of biblical leadership, whether
right.
we're going to move into a more specific aspect of church leadership. But when we say leadership, we mean how the Bible views leadership
right.
here. So I think people need to understand that as we're talking.
And
those are some of the misconceptions I think are very true, though.
Yeah, and I think it's often true our wives are better at these things than we are.
Yeah.
You know?
That is
because
excuse,
they're
excuse.
More sensitive to these things than we are.
Right.
But that's not the issue.
Maybe they notice those things better than we do.
So anyway, my question is, where are you going?
In other words, movement.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that is implied by direction. One of the first things implied is movement. Moving in a certain direction. You're not sitting still. You can't lead sitting still. And I don't mean physically sitting
right.
still. But I mean...
Although sometimes...
That can be the case as
right.
well. Yes. But it's not just about activity. It's not just activity for activity's sake. The leader is not just going, he's growing, and he's going somewhere in particular. And we'll talk more about that later.
So
it can't
be static.
Exactly. The leader is not static. A leader is not static. A person can be a brand new Christian or a baby Christian and not know a lot,
right?
But can lead because he's moving in a certain direction.
So is it safe to say whatever position in life is, put that in there, insert that, we need to know where we are going.
Yeah.
Whether you're leading your own personal life as a single person, whether you are a church leader or
right.
your father,
right.
whatever your position is.
And that implies movement.
Yeah.
It also implies mission. You asked the question earlier when we were talking, what's the difference in mission and vision?
Yeah.
And
Because I think sometimes
not
people
much.
Like to, they, well, some people really try to distinguish between the two, but I think they cross over quite a bit.
Well, you think of someone like Martin Luther King Jr. He made a statement in one of his famous speeches. I think this one was at the monument in Washington, D.C., when he said, "I have a dream. Mm-hmm. I dream of a day when my children will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character."
Which, unfortunately, has not really happened.
Well, it has happened some.
Right.
But it's still there's ways to go. But then later, I think it was the night before he was murdered, he said this statement, "I may not get there with you, but..." And that just that phrase right there and what went with it created a sense of mission and vision. And, of course, he gave his life in pursuit of that, and whatever else we think of him personally, he demonstrates a man who was on a mission to accomplish something. And direction gives us that sense of mission, and which leads us to this, that direction is about commitment. Without commitment, there is no direction. There's a shotgun effect, not a rifle effect.
So there has to be a committed to a certain way of life.
Yes.
And I guess maybe we could say this, our mission really is guiding us in our vision.
It is.
That's how they overlap in that way.
Yeah. And commitment narrows the choices and focuses us on that vision.
So it means direction, but I think it also, we can say it leads, it, or I should say leadership means determination.
Correct. You can have determination and not be a leader, but you can't be a leader and not have determination. Now, I think we think about determination and say, well, we just got to be determined. But this, as it relates to leadership, I think is essential. And determination requires, we said that direction requires commitment. Determination requires conviction and courage. That's this mixture of conviction and courage that hones a person to be committed and to be determined in what they do.
So if they are to have conviction and courage, where does this play out? I mean, like, where does this determination play out?
Well, first of all, you have to have determination to face affliction. You know, Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." Affliction, tribulation, trouble, pressure. He didn't say you may have tribulation. So it's not a question of whether you will face affliction or not. You will. If you're a Christian, you will face affliction. And all of us will not necessarily face the same affliction. But if we don't have that conviction and courage, that determination, when the affliction comes, then we're going to have a hard time staying the course. And so, first of all, there's the determination to face affliction. But then there's the determination to face loneliness.
It's interesting because I think anyone who's had any kind of leadership, whatever position that may be, we've all felt that sense of, I'm kind of alone up here at the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've heard the phrase, it's lonely at the top.
Right.
You know, and I think that's true. I really think every leader at some point in his life is going to feel that.
It is not always true.
No.
But it is frequently true.
And I don't know if we need to stay there. I mean, there should be people who are going with you.
Right.
But there is a sense in which you have to make judgment calls and decisions where nobody else had to make it, and you did.
Right.
And that's lonely.
A fellow I respect said, if it's lonely at the top, you're not leading right. But, and I know what he means. You should have people with you, as you said. But still, there are times of loneliness. And you got to be able to face that. You have to have the determination to face loneliness. And then...
Well, before you go on to that, because I've heard it said, and I think this is very important, that leaders don't have the privilege, if you will, of feeling sorry for themselves. So we don't have the privilege of sitting around going, well, it sure is lonely around here at the top.
Sure is lonely at the top.
I mean,
people only knew what I was going through.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying you don't hurt. I'm not saying you don't have feelings or emotions. But I think we don't have time to sit around and bemoan the fact that it's lonely up here.
Right. And affliction and loneliness can lead to pity, self-pity.
Right.
And that's a destructive thing. But then the other thing that determination helps us face is success.
Hmm.
Now, there's a bit of an oxymoron there. But I want to explain what I mean. I think that sometimes success can do more to knock us off track than failure. Failure often causes the man of God, the woman of God, to look to Jesus, to look to Christ, to cry out for help, and to see how much they need the Lord and His grace and His help. Success gives us a sense of accomplishment and can lead to pride. And so we have to humble ourselves in our success. You know, when numbers rise in ministry, people tend to feel pretty good about things and pretty good about themselves.
Well, we become self-reliant.
We can. Self-confident. It can happen. And that's why it requires the determination to stay focused on the main thing, the courage and conviction to even walk in humility and contriteness.
Well, I mean, we don't even listen to those around us. Right. I think can happen, yeah. Which is an important part of leadership.
So determination is an essential aspect of leadership.
So we've talked about direction. We've talked about determination. But finally, I think kind of culminating here just naturally is this idea that leadership means destiny, or as we could say, legacy. Where are we going to end up? What's our destination?
Yeah, I'll go back to one of those comments that I quoted from Christ when he said, it is necessary now the Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things. This is what I came to the world for. Hmm. When he prayed, he says, this is why I'm here. Should I pray, Father, remove this from me? No, this is why I'm here. This sense of why I'm here, I want to, and it may not be quite that clear, but it can be clear in the sense that we have the sense of purpose and direction and destiny. And we can have it first in an earthly sense. I think of Abel in the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says that Abel, by faith, offered a better sacrifice than his brother Cain. And by it, he, being dead, still speaks. Hmm. Now that is a destiny that he achieved in what would have been at that time a relatively short life, murdered for standing for what God said and doing what God said and gaining God's approval, and then, but leaving a lasting legacy of faith.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we struggle with is the fact that we can't discount the earthly. And I think we can, in our attempt to be eternal, which nothing wrong with that, that's we are eternally minded and focused, we can discount the fact of what we leave behind us here on earth. Because right. Let's face it, until Christ comes back, we are still to be about our Father's business, if you will.
Right.
And so I think that's good that you bring that up, because I think so many times we discount the fact that we're leaving a lasting legacy here on earth.
We talked about it a little bit and got sort of personal, just thinking about, you know, when your body's laying there in the funeral home, when people stand around your grave and they've done the last eulogy and prayed the last prayer and read the last little section of scripture, what are people thinking? Well, he was a nice guy.
Right.
You know, and that's fine. I mean, that's okay. You know, he sure loved to fish.
Right.
He loved his golf. None of which are bad. That's what I want to be.
Yeah.
I want that to be me. Now, that happens by the grace of God, but that's an earthly sense of destiny. Then there's an eternal sense of destiny.
Which I would say, if a biblical earthliness will lead to eternal.
Right. We actually live the one because we have the other.
Right.
And if we have an earthly sense of destiny, then we go along with Paul as he says, don't look at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. He talks about the afflictions that we talked about earlier as this light and momentary affliction. Why? Because our perspective is an eternal one, and we have this eternal destiny, this looking for well done, good and faithful servant, and living forever in the presence of Christ and serving him perfectly and not imperfectly. And so this is, when you live with these things and they become the warp and woof of your life, you're a leader, even if you have the position or not. And so you come to what I call the four C's. To have this destiny, there has to be a sense of character. Mm-hmm. There has to not just be a sense of character, there has to be moral character.
It has to be spiritual a reality.
Character, reality of character. And so we've gone through kind of the four C's of leadership. I pray this for men. When I pray for leaders, when I pray for political leaders or church leaders, I pray that they will be men of commitment and character, conviction, and courage. And these are the kind of things that led Martin Luther to say, here I stand, I can do no other.
Well, and I think we have to realize that the most simplest of men, not that we want to draw comparisons between different men, but the most simplest of men who maybe don't have a college education, men who are that blue-collar worker who punch that clock and who work in the mines or whatever, those men can be that type of leader.
Yeah, I referred to my dad, you know, earlier. He wasn't educated.
Right.
He didn't have the things you and I have been exposed to, but I knew where he was going.
Yeah.
I knew where we were going.
Right.
And And he led
and
by
he
the
was that or he was that kind of blue collar worker.
That's exactly right. He was he had ninth
grade,
he
ninth grade
dropped out of school in ninth grade. Yeah, in the middle of the ninth grade. But he led us, and thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Those listening to us can do the same.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, so we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision Believing Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.